Welcome to our podcast. This is Friends on Fire.
I'm Mike. I'm a lifelong devotee of financial independence. I even wrote a book about it.
And I'm Maggie, a newer convert, but just as passionate, especially on the intersection of minimalism and financial independence. We're one and the
same. We are two like-minded friends who believe that talking about money with your friends and family opens the door to financial well-being.
The Friends on Fire podcast is about dispelling myths, building financial acumen, and sharing your financial independence journey with the people you care about.
This is Friends on Fire.
Hey, Maggie.
Hey, Mike. Oh,
we did it at the same time.
Okay. Hey, Mike.
Hi, Maggie. How's it going?
How's it going?
Oh, we did it again.
Jeez, my goodness. All right, were you making fun of Jinx? Like, I'm a little kid for saying Jinx?
No, I haven't like actually been jinxed or been held accountable to the jinx.
Oh, I use the word jinx like years. Once every 3 days.
Yeah, but do you actually make somebody be quiet until you unjinx them?
Oh, I forgot about when you say, when you said be held accountable, I was like, what sort of accountability is just a word you throw out?
Yeah.
No, you're right. I don't know if play is the right word, but I do not execute the jinx game properly. I do not hold people accountable. I just like to throw out the word jinx, giggle, and move on. Speaking of that, let's go.
All right.
I'm so excited for today's topic. I feel like I say that on every show.
Yeah, you are. Well, this is what we're passionate about. So, of course, we're excited about it.
Yeah.
But this is career week. At Friends on Fire, did you know that we actually have a
career week? No, when you said career week, I was like, where is it career week?
No, I just made that up.
The irony is, like, this is a topic that's been kind of on our list of show ideas and half fleshed out show notes for a long time. Mm-hmm. It took me, ironically, leaving work and corporate America to finally put some of these thoughts down on paper and do a show on it. So,
So we're going to be talking about how you get promoted, and how you can ask for a raise. And to lend some credibility to this, we're going to turn it over to Maggie, who has since quit her corporate job and no longer works.
But I once did get promoted rather frequently.
Yeah.
And, you know, for anyone who's like, oh, is this a financial topic? I don't even think anyone would say that. But yeah, this is a financial topic because we spend an awful lot of time talking about how to save money. Mike and I are both very frugal. All on a relative scale, right? Mm-hmm. Because I think Mike often is like, Maggie, you're not frugal. You buy $4,000 treadmills.
The on-running shoes that you buy frequently would indicate you're not as frugal as me.
I feel like I need a new pair. You just reminded me. I'm frugal considering the amount of money I made and have.
Yeah, is that right? How it works?
That's how it works. Okay. It's all relative. But anyways, we talk a lot about saving money, spending less, that side of the equation. But the other side of it is how much money you make, right? Mm-hmm. And how good you are at your job and how you're able to manage your salary and your career and improvements in that over time is a huge influence on how much money you have, because it's the other side of the equation of how much money is coming in. And you haven't heard us talk a lot about like side hustles and getting extra jobs, and that's certainly a path. Mike and I have both taken the path of really investing in the primary career. I don't even know how to use words like this anymore, because I was going to say, Mike, that we have, but for me it's had, and for you it's have.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I have a successful career.
I had one successful career, right? So you get perspectives from multiple angles. So speaking of, let me brag about Mike for a minute. Mike, you have had what I would call a successful career.
Thank you.
You have a successful career. And you've spent about half of your working life in corporate America, in corporate finance now.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah. And you've held leadership roles at multiple large companies. You've shown an ongoing track record of success in the sense of getting, you know, promotions and new roles, and your salary has increased at, I don't know exactly at what, you know, clip rate, but at a pretty solid rate, I believe. And until you got to Friends on Fire and started making no money on this podcast.
Yeah, this has been a career regression.
Actually, this has been the like side passion project that makes us both happier in our careers.
That's right.
I'm not going to keep clarifying that I no longer have one. Anyways, I spent 20 years also working in corporate America, like much of Mike's career, and spent a lot of time working in, I started right out of school in a leadership program for a couple of years. I moved into a career in digital marketing, did a lot of different roles across e-commerce, product management, general leadership roles is kind of where I ended up in marketing, digital leadership roles. And we've both, I think, had pretty successful careers. I'd say more than pretty successful if you kind of, you know, compare them across, again, all of the kind of averages out there. And I think we're pretty well thought of. We've had, which kind of goes hand in hand with success, I think. And I think we've also both been paid pretty well, pretty fairly for what we've done and had, again, kind of a good track record of improved, increased salary over time. And this isn't to like brag or to toot our own horn. It's to lend some credibility to the advice that we want to share with you all today. And, you know, we've learned a lot over the years and we want to share it with you all.
Now, I think it's important to first kind of set the stage for the levels we're talking about and the context. So we're really talking about corporate jobs, of which there are many in the world, but not all jobs. So some of the advice we're going to be giving applies to all jobs, but specifically, our experience has been in corporate America. Now, when we talk about promotions, the way that I view levels, and having worked at a number of large companies, the way it's typically structured is you have frontline employees, so the people who work in a retail store. And then once you get into the corporate office, you have kind of associates who are typically like a few years of experience. You then have managers, you then have directors, you have vice presidents, you have senior vice presidents, and then you have the C-suite. Now there's going to be all kinds, there's so much like title inflation.
So many flavors
and there's
variations
like different like sub-levels on all that stuff. Yeah. But generally speaking, a promotion is between those levels because those are the major ones. Like a promotion from like manager to senior manager to lead manager to whatever they are called is like, it's all still a manager job. And maybe you have a little more responsibility. Maybe you make a little more money. But the promotion from manager to director or from director to vice president, those are big deals. And that's what we're talking about here. And yeah, to give some additional context about you and me, I'm a director. You were a vice president.
Yes.
I have worked at three large corporations in leadership roles. You have primarily worked at one for the majority of your career.
I spent 5 years at one and 15 at the other. You're right.
And so take everything we say with a grain of salt. This is our experience based on the companies we worked at and the types of organizations that we were employed with. So it doesn't apply to everybody, but I think you're going to learn something.
First off, the term like, even in our show title of like how to get promoted, I want to give a quick shout out to one of my most awesome bosses that I had for, I don't know, like almost 15 years, but like 10 plus years directly reporting to him, because he inspired the approach that we're going to take on some of this. There's a lot of our own personal thoughts mixed in and we agree with all of this, but he used to give this talk at work that I really appreciated that was in, it was, he always titled it How to Get Promoted, which was like kind of clickbait, but it was really about how to be a leader, right? And it was less about like literally how to get a promotion. It was how to excel at what you do and how to take on larger leadership roles. And you know, the first, so anyways, I just say that as in, I want to give a shout out because he's awesome. Mike, I think so much of managing your career and being successful in your career and in all of life, honestly, is mindset based. And I think one of the most important things to understand about what will get you promoted is that it is not about being a better analyst or project manager or finance business partner or software engineer. It's not about how long you've been doing that job. You don't get promoted because you're like, well, I've been the analyst in the group the longest. So now that there's a manager role open, I should get that role. It is about whether or not you can inspire people, influence people, execute well, think strategically, simplify a complex message, manage pressure and stress, right? Are you a compassionate person? Do people want to follow you? Can you lead and they'll follow? And that to me is such an important point that people need to wrap their head around, that people often misunderstand, and that they think, well, I'm a really good analyst and I've been here for 10 years. I've been here the longest. And now, again, there's a manager role open and that role should be mine. That is not how it works in any way. And if you think that's how it works, you're missing something.
Yeah, along those lines. And I have this conversation quite a bit, actually. And the tough truth is that, like, you are not entitled to a promotion. You are not entitled to a job, period. And so if you are not doing what the company wants of you and molding yourself to be part of their system, then you're not going to get any of this stuff and you do not deserve it just by being there. So sorry if that is news to you, but that's the truth. The other thing that I think is important is that it is as much about timing as it is about your capabilities. And so you could be promotion ready. Everybody could be like, we got to promote this person ASAP. But if the right role doesn't open up in the time that you are ready and available to take a new job, you're not going to get promoted. And I see this all the time, like at my current company, your former company. This is going to be weird. You know, there are promotional opportunities coming up all the time, but you have to have the right skill set for them, you know? And if you're in finance and you're trying to get promoted, it doesn't matter how many jobs in marketing open up. You need the finance job to open up and for you to go and take that job.
Yeah, it's the preparation meets opportunity, right? So you need to be prepared for it, which we'll talk more about. But also the actual opportunity has to exist, to your point, Mike, which I think is such an important point, which often gets people really like in their head and kind of disenfranchised with a company or a person or a system. And they're like, oh, I'm never going to get promoted. And I think it, you know, I always love the phrase luck, because I've said that I've been lucky at times throughout my career. And I sometimes, you know, other people or myself will clarify, like, well, it's not that I haven't worked hard and been willing and capable to take on, you know, these additional incremental responsibilities. But it is a combination of preparation meeting opportunity. I happen to be kind of growing up on a digital team where it was 10 people when I started and it was 200 people when I left. And with that amount of growth and team size comes a lot of opportunities to take on more. And when you're on a team where over 20 years, it's the same, like your finance team over 20 years, it doesn't have that sort of size growth. Right. It probably is a little more steady state in a lot of places. And there's just only so many roles that can be created in HR or in finance. But when you're in digital and it's skyrocketing over, you know, a 20 year period as it's growing as an industry, it's a lot easier. I don't know if easier is the right word, but there's a lot more opportunity, to your point.
And for every digital marketing organization that's growing, there is another type of organization that is being reduced in size. Yep. And so you might find yourself in an organization with 200 people that reduces down to 10 over 20 years. And you better find a new job because the timing and the opportunity is not going to work out for you in that role.
Okay. So speaking of finding a new job, if the timing and opportunity isn't going to work out, a great way to think about how you get that next job, whether it's in your current function or wanting to make a shift like you were referring to, Mike, because you're seeing that something's not growing and you want to, there's a lot of people in like traditional marketing that saw digital growing and wanted to move into digital. And a great recommendation there is to leverage your current role to show you have the leadership competencies for your next role. So even though your current role may not be the one that you want next, you can still use it to show what you're capable of, right? And you can show what you're capable of just generally as a worker and as an employee in terms of, you know, I work hard, I deliver things on time. But you can also show things like, I'm a leader in my group. I'm able to put together a strong presentation. I'm able to simplify a message. These are all transferable skills, right? So whether you work in, and I'm just going to use examples from my life, whether you work in traditional marketing or whether you work in digital marketing, those skills are transferable, right? You can learn the digital aspects, but I can't teach you how to just be a strong, I was trying to think of what the word is, Mike, like a strong employee, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Just, I thought you were going to say a strong woman. I'm like, I don't need to be taught how to be a strong woman.
I was
going to
say worker, but that's not a... Right. That's not a...
I don't think it's a derogatory term.
Well, it's not a derogatory term. I'm more is just like a weird term, like worker bee. So yeah, yeah, just a way of thinking about it. Like, I just think that anything's possible, right? And I am very thankful that I grew up with parents that often, especially my dad, always had the attitude of like any, like he could figure out anything and he could do anything. And there was never anyone kind of telling me no. And well, there were a lot of people telling me no, but you know what I mean? Like I always felt like I could, like I had a chance to convince and sell my case and whatever. And I say that as in, you know, when you're in a role and you feel stuck, don't think of that as stuck. Think of that as I'm going to, especially if you want to stay at the company you're in, think of that as I'm going to show what I can do in this role, or if you want to switch, right? Because when you're sitting at a job interview for another company and they're like, well, we're kind of looking for someone with this, and like that's your chance to be like, well, let me tell you what I've done in this role that I've been in. I know it's not the same, but I've got a ton of transferable skills that will apply to this role that you're hiring for. And so anyways, I just remember that you can use your current role and you need to be using your current role to show what you are capable of in your next role. The sort of half joke at our company, Mike, for a long time was like, you're not going to get the promotion until you actually have shown that you can already do it. So it's almost like you needed to be doing it and then someone will promote you.
Yeah. You need to prove to somebody that you can do the job. And the only way you prove it is by doing it. And those opportunities are hard to come by when you are only focused on your immediate tasks.
And so again, that's a mindset thing, right? Of thinking of like, I can use my current role to set myself up for the next one.
The other thing to keep in mind, and this is dependent on company culture primarily, but I think it's good advice generally, is that you might need to find different lateral roles to gain diverse experience. So like when I worked at AT&T, you could not get promoted. Like you absolutely could not get promoted unless you had multiple lateral jobs in different parts of the business. They did not want to see people moving up in a single vertical. That was just not the way the company worked. Current company, very different from that. And I don't think they reward that sort of cross-functional experience in the same way. But depending on where you work, you might have to go do this. So again, you're not entitled to a promotion. You might have to go take 3 or 4 manager jobs before you become a director.
Yeah, that's a great point. And I do think even in my experience at our company, Mike, let me call it your company now, but I was often encouraged to go outside of digital. And for me, and we'll talk about this more when we talk about salary.
I think they were just telling you to get lost, right?
Shut up. I know. I was realizing you were going to say that right as I said it. I knew what I wanted to do and what I enjoyed doing and what I was passionate about. And it was all the things in the digital space. And so I didn't want to leave that to go into like brand marketing or something else. I knew in my gut it wasn't what I wanted to do and what I was excited to do. And so there was a point in my career where I was being heavily encouraged to go do some roles outside of digital. And I knew that that would make me, quote, you know, more well-rounded. And that's what they often want for even more senior level positions above the level that I left at, which was vice president. Like to be an SVP, ideally, I needed to go have a more diverse skill set across the company. But I didn't care about that. I really was like, I know what I enjoy doing and I'll see how far this can take me in this area, right? And that was a trade-off I was willing to make. But a lot of these decisions are based on, you know, we talk about this with money, but like just being intentional, right? So think about what matters to you and what's important to you. And is it the title you have? Is it the type of work you're doing? Is it the amount of money you're making? Because you can go in very different directions based on which of those is most important to you. Another important piece around taking on more senior roles, which look, when we're talking about getting promoted, it means more senior roles, which often involves what I would call leadership. And any role from a manager level role where you're managing a couple people to a director role where you might be managing a larger team to, you know, beyond and beyond that to where it's becoming a larger and larger team, it's going to involve a lot of decision making, recommendations, and just overall influence, right? That was a word we talked about a lot at work. You need to be able to influence people. You need to be able to persuade people. You cannot just tell people what to do. You need to bring them along. You need them to understand where they're coming from so that you can get them to understand where you're coming from. You need to sometimes be able to kind of speak their language. I mean that literally when you're dealing with people in other countries where you may not literally speak their language, but you need to be able to understand different cultures and recognize that, you know, when you have a call with people in China, and you pitch something and it's, you don't get any questions or pushback, it doesn't mean that they're aligned. It is less culturally acceptable to like speak up in that meeting and push back, but they will push back later. Right. And that's just one example of kind of a cultural nuance. And you need to understand that stuff. Right. And so I'm throwing out all these examples, but like you need to be able to simplify complex topics and make other people understand them. You need to be able to take something really complicated, present it as a number of options, show the pros and cons, and perhaps give a recommendation in there, but let people come to the decision that you perhaps have already come to, right? But there's a nuanced way to get through that and to truly persuade people. And that is an example of back to the very beginning when we said, you know, it is not about being a better analyst. If you want to run the analytics team at your company, you need to be able to do all those things, because you need to be able to convince somebody higher up than you that you need more people on the team, or that you need some system, or you need to invest in something, or that there's some issue, something's broken, and here's how we fix it, whatever it is. And I think, you know, that is just a critical piece of what is needed as you want to advance and take on larger leadership roles.
And along the same lines, you need to be a strong speaker. Because as you are doing all of those things, which Maggie just described, these are all like live conversations that you need to have with people. And so you need to be able to communicate powerfully and prolifically, as a term we had at AT&T that I really liked. But you also need to be a good public speaker. And they go very much hand in hand, because the confidence you have speaking on a call with two people, very similar to a call with 200 people. And so if you are quiet or shy, you are really unlikely to ever be promoted into leadership roles, because you need to do a lot of talking.
Hey, can I respectfully disagree there?
You know a lot of quiet and shy people?
I do. No. No, I would say a lot, but that's why I want to clarify. No,
well, let me clarify then. I think there are people who are probably quiet and shy, but don't behave that way in public. It is of their nature to be quiet and shy.
Yes.
But if you are timid in front of people, like if you display that trait, you're never going to be promoted. And so you really need to step out of your shell. Like, I'm an introvert. I don't want to talk to people. But when I talk to people, I speak with great confidence about this stuff. And so I thank you for clarifying that point.
But no, and this Mike, is a skill you need. You're right. We gave this caveat at the very beginning. We're talking about corporate America, right? So if you work, this is probably like, I don't even mean to make this a stereotypical example, but if like you work in a research lab, like quiet and timid and shy, like might not be any issue, because the promotion may be more based on your skill set of, you know, how you do research. I don't even know what people in a research lab do, so I'm not going to give a good example there. But we're giving experiences from our environment. And you're right. You said it's unlikely that you're ever going to be. I think the caveat that I would add to that, and it's kind of what you were saying too, is this is something that you can get better at over time. And so if you're quiet and shy, but you're willing to get out of your comfort zone, and you're willing to, like, I didn't, one thing that I think will hopefully help inspire some people is most people that you see that are good at that you think are good at public speaking, they weren't always good, and they aren't not nervous. They aren't as confident as they seem.
Yeah.
Right. Some of the best public speakers are really fucking nervous before they get up on stage. And they've also been doing it for a long time. And this is something where it just takes so much practice. Like, I remember talking to someone like early on in my career, and they were like, you just need more at bats, which is like a sports term, FYI. Like, I got to get up. I know that I don't even get, but I got to get up there and hit more balls, right? Baseballs, basketballs. What am I hitting? Anyways, I need more at bats, which I get. And it's so true. And the more you get out there and get out of your comfort zone, and again, this is if you want this, right? Mm-hmm. We're not suggesting if this isn't something that you want to do this, but you're right. You got to get out of your comfort zone.
So next up, and we'll unpack this one a little bit, but you need to build relationships and network. Like I said, you're not entitled to any of this stuff. And so if you are not letting everybody know that you want to be promoted, that you're ready to be promoted, if you're not doing the work that gets you noticed, like, nobody's just going to do this for you. And networking, as much as some people hate it, is a necessary part of this. So the first specific piece of advice, identify the decision makers. So like, identify who the hiring manager is going to be for the jobs you want. Identify the people in HR who are going to be providing feedback. And befriend them, develop relationships with them, because at some point they're going to get in a room They're going to make a decision about who to give the role to, and you want them to pick you.
Hey, for anyone who is like, oh, I don't like politicking or schmoozing or any of that, let me clarify. This is selling yourself, right? This is marketing yourself as your product, right? So figure out your personal brand, bring it to life in everything you do, and then you've got to go tell people and market. And like, that is what networking and relationships are. And everyone is doing it, and it's not politics. It's not schmoozing, especially if it comes from a place of sincerity where, yes, you're going out there and telling people that you are interested in making a move and that you don't enjoy this role anymore. And you're thinking about, or it might just be that you're thinking about, you know, the next role you want to take in the next couple of years. Like, I used to always tell people, like, I don't believe in stuff where you're like, oh, just put it out into the universe and it will happen. You know, I mean, literally go put it in the universe by telling five other people, you know, on your team or in different roles, like Mike gave examples of, that you have aspirations to do X, Y, Z.
That's good advice, Maggie. I mean, there's really two pieces of this now that you say that. You need to like identify the decision makers and let them know you're interested and this is what you want. But you also need to just build relationships with them, work relationships, personal relationships. You can't just be one-sided. Because if like you are great friends with some executive in your organization, but they never know what you want, they're never going to think of you for jobs. And conversely, if you are only talking about how you want to get promoted and not bothering to like ask them how their kids are doing and that sort of stuff, they're going to be like, well, this asshole only cares about money or title. Like, yeah. I don't really like him that much personally. You need to be doing both. And my advice would be make it genuine, like develop personal relationships with the expectation that nothing will ever come of it other than you make a good friend and like close colleague at work. And then, but then trust that the universe will pay you back for this.
Yeah. And it makes work more enjoyable to have those relationships at work also.
Yeah. Like when I became friends with you, I knew I was not going to get anything of value out of this relationship. Nothing. I'm just totally kidding, Maggie. But no, this is actually a great example because like, you know, you and I developed a quick friendship and I don't think we ever intended that we would start a podcast together, there would be any other benefits other than just like, we like each other at work and we're going
to
hang out.
And it was cool to have someone fun at work to talk about stuff that we both enjoyed talking about, right? Yes. And I wasn't going to get, you know, yes, I wasn't going to get anything out of you and you weren't going to get anything out of me. Another one on this one in today's current environment, Mike, is you may need to actually physically go into the office to do this. So, and I'm serious.
You're right.
Yeah. There is a lot of, you know, out of sight, out of mind. It's the downsides of working remote. Look, I love the flexibility and the just everything that comes with being able to work remote as much as anyone. But if I was earlier in my career, when we were kind of going back to the office post COVID, you better believe I would have been in the office like way more than I was. I wasn't at the point where I was trying to build those relationships. I had a lot of relationships already well built and I could leverage them remotely. But if you're not at that point in your career yet, you need, and you have the choice to physically go in, like I'd lean more towards going in more often. And the other point I was going to make earlier when we were talking, Mike, is, you know, that those relationships are really important and that network is important. But all of this, and I think this goes without saying, but I'm going to say it just in case, sits on a foundation of actually being like good at your job.
And oh, all these things I forgot we've talked about that part.
Right? You know, I'm serious because you might make some great relationships with people and have a great relationship with the HR business partner, all these things. And
then but if you're an idiot.
Yeah, a discussion comes up about a promotion and they're going to start asking these people. They're going to ask your manager how you are. They're going to ask, HR is going to go ask a few people. And that reputation and your personal brand matters more than anything, right? And so what's the phrase? Like, you can't just talk the walk. You got to walk the walk.
Yeah.
Is that right?
I think
Did I butcher that?
It's something like that.
So when they go and ask your manager, they can't be like, oh, that person's an asshole. Or like, they really are pretty slack. And like, they don't really, you know, they don't deliver on time. They're always missing debt. Like, that doesn't matter. You just built that relationship for nothing because you don't have, you know, you don't have the goods to back it up. And so I think that is one of the most critical pieces of it's just being good at what you do and building out all these leadership competencies that we're talking about.
And not to contradict this point we were making about relationships, but to add a little more clarity to it. At the end of the day, the person who you need to impress is the hiring manager. They are, of course, going to ask for feedback, and you need to have a network of people who are supportive of you. You need to have the timing work out, a role needs to open up, and the person who is making the final decision needs to want you for that role. And so if you are not developing the right relationship with the person who's ultimately going to promote you, this could all be for naught. And it's important to keep that in mind.
Mike, on that point, getting promoted is an art, not a science, right? There's not a formula. Now, if you're, I compare it to like being a teacher, right? If you're a teacher, there's really well laid out and strict salary guidelines. And if you get this level of education, you'll get this much more money, and you know exactly what it is and when you'll get it. And it doesn't matter, you know, how, honestly, it doesn't even matter how good you are at your job. If you get this additional certificate, you'll get this much more money. That is not how it works in corporate America. And in general, no one's going to like give you a promotion because you went back to school to get your MBA. It is about your leadership competencies, your ability to influence, your relationships, your network, and your personal brand, right? And so All these things have to come together, the timing. And so I think just we can wrap up on the point of, well, a couple things, you know, because I can never wrap up on one point. It is an art, not a science, right? All of these things have to be working in your favor for you to continue to get promoted and for you to get that promotion that you might be seeking. I just want to say a couple things. One, I want to acknowledge our privilege, right? Mike and I are both sitting here as two white people who were raised in, you know, average middle class families, provided the opportunity to go to college. We had a lot of things like going for us in life that helped us to get some of the kind of head starts that we did get. And then we followed that through with hard work and, you know, all the things we've been talking about here. But I just want to acknowledge that because it is something that is a part of our story. The other thing I want to mention is it is okay if you don't want to be promoted. This was my favorite thing as a leader, by the way. I couldn't handle a team of people where everybody wanted to get promoted. It was exhausting, right? I loved somebody on my team who did a kick-ass job, who showed up every day, was paid well for what they did, and was happy, right? Not everybody wants more responsibility or more accountability. Not everybody wants to manage. A lot of people actually don't want to manage people, and I could tell you why. But like, it's complicated, right? It's a lot of work. It's a lot of mental and physical work. But I just want to make that point of like, it is okay if you're happy in your current job and you just want to keep doing that job and focus on being your best and leave it at that, right? That is okay.
One of the things that I love to tell people when I'm doing kind of career coaching is that if your 5-year plan is to collect paychecks for 5 years, that's perfectly okay. If you come to work and you do a good job and people like you, who cares what your motivations are? Like to your point, Maggie, I do not want a bunch of people who are bugging me every day on like
what's
to get
next?
New
what's
roles
next?
And what's next. I want you focused on your current job because that makes my job easier. And that is what like an employee is supposed to do, make their boss's job easier.
And I think to your point, Mike, some people would be afraid to tell their manager that they're happy in their current role. As a manager, I loved hearing that from certain people, right? Because I say certain people, it's like I need somebody who wants to take on, you know, a leadership role eventually for succession planning and for all these other reasons. But I was kind of happy is the wrong word, but I was content when I was like, cool, that works for me and that works for you and that works for the company. Like, you know, so I just say that as in like, don't feel bad. Don't beat yourself up if you're not trying to get promoted or wanting to get promoted or at that life stage. Okay. Last point. We just said a lot of things that were like the what, not the how. And so I do want to just make a point that like all things, if you hear these things and you're like, oh, that's great, I need to get better at influence, right? And influencing people. There's now like, well, how do you do that, right? And I would say, I've learned a ton from other people, from watching other people and observing other people, what to do and what to not do, from like YouTube videos, from books, some of my favorite books, which like one of my favorite books is Lynchpin by Seth Godin. I'll put some links in the show notes to some of my other favorite books. In this category, like career focused books. But there's a ton you can learn from books. there's a ton you can take. There's different classes. A lot of companies have a ton of resources available for different classes and like continuing education type of opportunities. So there's a lot you can do to start to lean into how you actually get better at a lot of the things that we just talked about. And that's kind of, you know, the next level. But I just want to acknowledge, I know we didn't get into detail on the how.
One thing that I've always advised people to do is find somebody at your current company who is doing the job that you want or has had the career that you want, and talk to them specifically about this tactical advice. Because even in this episode, Maggie, you and I have some different perspectives about this because we've worked in different parts of the business. We've worked in different businesses. It varies. And so the specific ways you go about doing these things are going to be different. And so if you go find somebody who is the vice president of finance and you're a financial analyst at that company, they're going to tell you, listen, I went and did X, Y, and Z roles, and it allowed me to go become a director in this group, and it allowed me to go get X, Y, and Z jobs after that, and here is how I managed my career. And then you can go do those things, and it's going to, you know, it will work for the company culture that you find yourself in. And so if you take nothing away from this, I think the most important point of this whole episode is like, go talk to people and get their advice. Hopefully you found our advice helpful, but you don't need to rely on it exclusively because it may not totally apply.
Well, yeah. And to your point, to my point earlier and to your point, this is an art, not a science. Mm-hmm. And like you just said, it may not apply. So we're coming from corporate America. If you work in a, you know, teaching university environment, it's going to be a different culture and approach and what works and what doesn't. And so there's a lot of general nuggets from what we just talked about for all career fields.
Yeah. Like be good at your job first and foremost.
Right.
Yes. Definitely applies to every industry.
And, you know, put in the work and a lot of things we've talked about in other episodes. But I think you're right, Mike, in that there's just so many things. So to just kind of like recap a little bit more on the how and some specific tactics, like you just said, talk to people. You got to ask for that experience when you're talking to people too, right? Like I talked about the at-bats, like if you don't yet have experience leading people and leading groups of people, then ask for it when you're in different discussions with your manager or other, you know, people you're networking with. Say like sign up for extra stuff. I know people who are in what we call an individual contributor role. It means you don't manage people. At my previous employer, and they would get really involved in some of the employee resource groups like Lean In, which was a women's focused one. And they would over time, like they'd chair a subcommittee. And then next thing I know, a couple years later, they're leading the entire ERG. That is the sort of thing where like you don't have to have the opportunity in your current job. You can sign up for kind of extracurriculars at your company. And then when you're interviewing for someone and they're like, well, what leadership experience do you have? You can say like, hey, I've been running a 300 person ERG. I manage all of our subcommittee chairs. I keep us organized. I make sure we execute, you know, all these things that you can speak to. And so, you know, don't be afraid to get the experience even outside, like within your company, but outside of your day-to-day job if you're not able to build that competency there. And like Mike said, talk to people, find mentors, read books, watch YouTube videos, read articles. There's so much great free content out there to get better. Think about what you need to get better at and lean into those things and lean into, you know, educating and just like Mike and I like to DIY a lot of stuff. It's so easy to DIY getting better at these things through your own approach.
All right, Maggie, I think this was a lot of helpful information for people. Should we hit them with our top three takeaways?
We should.
Number one, it takes hard work to be successful.
Number two, it also takes EQ as much as IQ, and you really have to lean into softer skills even more so than your hard skills as you get into more senior roles. And Mike, I think we've said EQ at some point, maybe defined it, but EQ stands for emotional quotient, which versus your IQ, which is your intellectual quotient. And EQ is sometimes termed emotional intelligence. There's a lot of different kind of buzzwords around it, but it's the softer skills, right? It's how you make people feel like that's super important.
And number three, as you have success in your career, the money will come in. This is why we have corporate jobs, and you need to be prepared to handle it responsibly.
I think we'd be remiss to not end on that point since we are a financial podcast definitely. So just a reminder, we're all of this is to help you lead a richer life. And richer doesn't always mean you have to spend a lot of money to be happy. So
thanks everybody for listening. If you've been challenged or inspired by what you've heard, please rate and review the show. You can also subscribe to make sure you never miss an episode.
If you have any thoughts or questions, we always love to hear from you, and you can leave us a voicemail or text us at 404-981-3370 and hit us up on Instagram.
All right. Thanks, Maggie.
Thanks, Mike.
Bye.
Bye.